This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. We are having the talk, no, not that one, the other one, about money and how you can have that talk with your kids. You know, how do you teach your kids financial literacy at an early age? What are some of the guidelines that perhaps you can start, you know, instilling in your kids, you know, having a little savings fund, making sure they don't spend more than they have coming in. Maybe think about having them do grocery shopping for a week, make that list when they're a little bit older, of course. All interesting stuff. We've asked you guys to give us some feedback via Twitter and via WhatsApp. We've got a couple. Let's go over to WhatsApp first, Arv.
Yeah, so Alvin says they didn't.
Oh, and a little crying emoji.
Sorry, Alvin.
Yeah, and then we have one from Cheng who says, Rich Dad, Poor Dad is the best financial guidebook. Every parent should get it for their teenage kids.
I mean, great. You know, I'm sure that it is a good book. But here's my counterpoint. Very few teenagers would get that book and actually sit down and read it cover to cover, I think. Like, unless you've already instilled the importance of money and understanding money in their lives as, like, kids. Like, if I'd gotten that book as a teenager, I would have been like, oh, okay, I'll just put that aside.
Which is interesting because I don't want to generalize here, but when I moved to China, that book was in almost every household.
No, it's a super popular book.
I'm sure what it says is good. I'm sure it has really good advice. But if I'd been given that as a teen, I would have been like, ugh.
Yeah, where's my Enid Blyton?
Yeah. So now when I think about it, I read that book when I was 25. And then I remember thinking that I wish I had this book before. But then I also thought if I had this book before, I wouldn't have read it because I was a teenager.
That's the thing.
So yeah, which teenage? I don't know. I don't know.
You've got to build it into people's lives, not just, you know, make them read a book.
It should technically be in the curriculum, shouldn't it?
It should be in school.
I've often said that we should really just replace a lot of like the like trigonometry and stuff like that with financial literacy instead. Because that's such a specialized form of math anyway.
I agree. Okay, over to a related story. I'm complicating money management in parenthood. Come on, Arv.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting article that came from Quartz. And I'm trying to compress it to the talk set that we have. But it basically says that the moment women become mothers, it's common for equality in the household to sort of like falter or take a hit. They say that couples, when they get together, it's fine. They have like financial independence, especially in this day and age. But when they reach parenthood, when a kid is involved in the equation, then it becomes slightly lopsided.
Right.
Because usually what happens is the mother is the one that stays at home to look after the kid and the dad goes back to work. So financial dependency goes on it sort of shifts and it goes towards the dad slightly more. And like it says, so it's you know, when women become mothers, they lose that sort of like independence in the financial scene. So they say that one specific arena that can be most telling of all when it comes to the equality factor is money. Many factors go into the equality between parents, like who requires the most sleep, who gets time away from the baby, what biological needs have to be met by whom. And as Esther Perel, who is a couples therapist and author, she puts it, equality in many couples is busted with the arrival of the first child because it's very hard to share all the parenting roles equally, although all of them need to be done. And there's going to be a frontline parent. So money is the key not only because of what it affords, which is the ability to buy goods and services and stuff, but of what it represents, which is everything from control to success to freedom. And having a child might be the first time they or the couple become financially dependent on one another. Caroline Lovett, who is a relationship therapist, she also says that a woman on maternity leave having no access to her own money without asking her partner would be similar to if a partner came into the kitchen and had to ask permission to eat something. It's the exact same dynamic.
Got it.
Yeah, so it totally, it's a foreign concept and it's an unsettling feeling. So she adds, she advises addressing the money issue with some basic restructuring in the household. And she says that the format that couples can use is to set up a joint account to which both the father and the mother have access, arrange for both salaries and any maternity pay to be paid into this account, arrange for all regular expenses like mortgage payments and utility bills to be paid out from the same account. Make sure you have a personal account as well, so both of them have their own independent accounts. Pay a monthly allowance from the joint account into your personal accounts, and this could be exactly the same for each partner or adjusted depending on whether one person does more daily spending, for example, on kids' clothes, food, or travel.
I've done this without the kids involved.
Mm.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah. It worked. Joint accounts work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If both people understand how the joint account
Correct.
Works.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, this is like the singular thing that my mom has always told me as like her piece of financial literate wisdom onto me was always have your own bank account. Even if you get married, even if mm-hmm. you have family, you have to have your own personal account that isn't related at all in any way to any joint account or family account or anything. Have your own monies. Yes. And I live by that.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. They also go on to say that the structure should free both partners from feeling guilty about their spending
right.
or feeling worried about the other person's reaction to it, giving each complete financial autonomy day to day. Why it matters, they elaborate why it matters, because it says that a Norwegian study found in 2017 that after giving birth, women experience a drop in self-esteem for at least the next 3 years. The research found a correlation between this self-esteem slump and the women's evaluation of their relationships. And then a survey of high net worth individuals from UBS found that globally, married women tend to defer long-term financial planning to their spouses. Of the 3,700 women surveyed, about 58% said that their partner was responsible for long-term planning, and 85% said that they themselves looked after day-to-day spending. So it basically finishes by saying that women need to make sure they don't lose control of their long-term financial health by default, because around childbearing, men tend to take on the role of the breadwinner. There's more in this piece. It's a very, like, the super flashy piece. It's part of their How We'll Win in 2019, which is like an exploration of workplace gender equality, and it's from Quartz, so you can go check it out. The link will be on the podcast page, but it's interesting because it sort of tackles the dynamic shift, especially when people have a kid in the picture.
I'm going to put that aside for another time. Might need that eventually.
In the future?
Eventually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah just money in general, I think, does really affect the way that you interact with other people as well. And especially
for sure.
when it comes to, you know, these relationships. Because also for me, like that was a source of tension in a relationship that I was in, was I would consider myself relatively responsible with my money. And my partner, not so much. Mm. very kind of...
Tends to be the case in most
frivolous, right? Very like,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do what I want and treat myself and spend money on things I don't need. And the thing is, like, while granted we were at a kind of early stage of our relationship, that was already, it felt like a warning sign to me, right? This whole feeling of like, if you can't communicate to me and also be responsible with your money, how are you going to be responsible for anything else, really, if we do have a future together? So I really think that, you know, all these tips and tricks for that are in the Quartz article and things like, you know, having that joint account but also having your own personal account and making sure you discuss that, talk about it, make the boundaries very clear, I think that is so important, and it will really help to like mitigate a lot of that stress that comes with like putting money into a relationship, essentially.
But would you have a joint account? Like, would you actually share an account with anyone?
This was the thing. We didn't have a chat, me and this partner, about having a joint account, but for me to be essentially the main person to be responsible for it, kind of to help my partner essentially learn financial
work.
Responsibility, which I was a bit like, I don't really want all that responsibility
right,
either. You
right.
should just learn to do that yourself.
Right.
but you know, it was something that we considered if we moved further into our relationship. I don't think having a joint account is a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's also like you have to really communicate and trust the other person to not abuse that account.
And you need to have like a common goal and
yes.
stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So using the idea of that joint account to kind of relieve some pressure, I think, is extremely useful. You know, setting up a joint account where all of your payments come out, whether it be your rent, your mortgage, your car loan, whatever, and they're set up on a specific date to come out, so they're always paid on time, works great as long as both partners are paying the money directly into that account.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At all times, and when they should be.
Mm.
Even better if you can arrange with the place of work to have it paid directly into that account.
Yes.
And then having a stipend per month, you know, then you kind of start to see, okay, if you're getting 1,000 ringgit per month each, you know, how far they can take that 1,000 ringgit. I wouldn't necessarily call it a warning sign, Chris, because some people have that kind of mentality of like, you can't spend it when you're dead. You
no,
know?
The mentality,
and why can't
yeah.
I just enjoy it whilst
it's,
I have it?
It's more that like this person just refused to take any responsibility for their own financial like you know ability to do anything in the future at all. Like there was no sense of any long term idea of like maybe I'll need my money to like I don't know buy a house. Like no clue of that at all, and refused to even talk about it. So
yeah, even looking at this like from
I'm single now, guys.
Even looking at this from like taking out the sentiment of having like a kid and stuff, even seeing this from like a business perspective, it's like co-founders. Mm. It's yeah. like co-founders yeah. and then you have a common pot in the business, so yeah. you know how much each of them takes out. It's not like one person's funding the business, yeah. which yeah. becomes lopsided. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
All right, we have to take a short break, folks. Music coming up from Santana with Oyo Como Va.
Hmm.
That's coming up in a sec. We are talking about, of course, financial literacy, specifically about having that talk with your kids about money, how to save money from an early age, or how to start saving money from an early age. What tips do you have? If you don't have any tips because you're not a parent, how did you learn from your parents or your family about how to save money, how to make it go further, and how to budget, all of those little things? Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Santana up next. Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.